Oh, great God and Father, it is my plea on our behalf, Father, that your Spirit would work in us and cause us to gaze on Christ. That we have already sung that He is risen. We have just sung about the sacrificial lamb that He is. And we're looking today at Mary's praise with Jesus in her womb. Father, that we would see Christ. We would gaze on Him and know who He is, our Savior and our Lord. And Father, that as we gaze on Christ, we would become more like Him, turning from our sin and growing in holiness for your glory and for His sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. One of the means of God's grace for His people, for His blood-bought, adopted, kept, secure children, is His warnings about continuing in sin. And while it is absolutely, positively factual, there is no condemnation now or ever for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And yet, one of His means of grace is warnings against continuing in sin. I am sure to some extent we all need to hear these things. But maybe to a greater extent, someone or someones need to hear these things today. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, it says, "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, that many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace may also reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? May ginomai, by no means. How can we who died to sin live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in His resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Let not then sin reign in your mortal body to obey its passions. We all have fleshly passions. Let not sin reign. We die with Christ. We walk in newness of life in Him. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness." Do that. Do not present your members to sin, but present your bodies, present our bodies to God for righteousness. Whatever's in the dark will come to light. For sin will have no dominion over you. You don't have to sin, brothers and sisters. I don't have to sin. Since you're not under the law, but under grace. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Here's what happens, though. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not let sin become fully grown and risk death. These warnings are for Christians to believe who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and how we are to live to Him and for Him. Hebrews chapter 3, take care, brothers. Take care. Watch out. Take heed. Lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today. I am exhorting us today that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It starts small at times. And left unchecked, it grows and it grows and it grows. And without confession, it's going to grow and it can bring about death. But it won't for us. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Do not harden your hearts. If there's sin in your life, if there's sin in our lives, confess it. Turn from it. Repent of it. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is not a threat to a Christian. This is an encouragement to turn away from sin. Whatever, if there's secret sin in our lives, confess it. Repent of it. Be warned. It will grow and it will fester. And for those who aren't truly Christians, it will lead to destruction. But for God's people, they will hear these warnings and they will repent. And they will turn. Now, this was on my mind this morning before even we had the psalm read and Pastor Nick shared with us. If it's you that needs to hear this, listen, heed, turn, stop it. Don't presume on God's kindness and mercy. Live in His power. Live in the power of the resurrected Christ. Walk in newness of life. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The title of today's sermon is Mary Bursts Forth with Joyful Praise. Before we look at the passage today, I want us to review where we are in the history and the events that Luke's recording for us here in the book of Acts. We know it was For 400 years, God has been silent since the prophet Malachi. We have not heard from God. Now, don't make any mistake. God was in control and sovereign all 400 years. He went nowhere. He simply did not speak through any prophets or visions or dreams. No kings, no judges. Silence after Malachi. And the silence is broken, remember, by the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah. And Zechariah is a priest. He's a priest that's performing a once-in-a-lifetime duty of offering the sacrifices in the holy place. And he comes to Gabriel, Zechariah is an older man, probably in his 70s, with an old and barren wife. And Zechariah comes and breaks the silence by telling Zechariah he would have a son. That Elizabeth, his wife, his barren old wife, would bear him a son named John the Baptist, and he would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And remember, he was made mute because of his unbelief. And 6 months later, in Elizabeth's pregnancy, during Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel then comes to Mary. And he appears to a young 12 or 13 year old girl. We see in beginning in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, who was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her, said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him a throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Remember, Mary is a 12 or 13 year old betrothed young woman, betrothed to a man named Joseph from the line of David. That's what we know about her. And an angel appears to her. And he tells her that she's going to bear a son. And she's going to bear a son, and that son is going to be named Jesus. God is salvation. And he's going to be the forever king in the line of David. Can you imagine what a young woman might be thinking? And so she says in verse 34, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, at her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed her. Mary, here's how it's going to happen, Mary. You're not going to be pregnant by a man. You're going to be pregnant supernaturally. And by the way, Mary, you have a cousin, Elizabeth, the old barren woman. She too is having a child. And by faith, Mary believed. She believed what he had said. She said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And yet, as we talked about a little bit last week, can you imagine? Here's this 12 or 13-year-old young woman that's betrothed. What's supposed to be happening in the year of betrothal? She's supposed to be proving her purity, her chastity. And she says she's going to become pregnant. She's going to become pregnant, and what will people think of her? And by faith, I believe this, but how could this be? But he told her about Elizabeth, and so what does she do? She hastens to Elizabeth. We saw last week, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So remember, we looked last week, she went to Elizabeth, someone who was in a similar situation as her. pregnant in a supernatural way, a miraculous way. She was looking for confirmation and affirmation and comfort. So she goes to Elizabeth to receive these things. And we saw last week that Elizabeth strengthened her faith. That the prophecy that Elizabeth, God speaking through Elizabeth, strengthened her and fortified her and settled her. She had seen her elderly barren cousin 6 months pregnant. She had heard the prophecy. She had heard that John the Baptist, the baby in the womb, had leapt, that he was prophesying even from the womb without words. And she was encouraged and strengthened and fortified and settled. She believed that God was sending his salvation, Jesus, the Messiah, and that she would birth this Son of God, this Son of Man. She believed that. She was blessed by God because she believed his promises. To her, his promises to her and to his people. All the fulfillment of the Old Testament was going to come to pass. And she believed that. And then we see what we see today. With that backdrop, we see the Magnificat of Mary. The Magnificat, it is a Latin word. And Mary, verse 46, my soul magnifies. The Greek word is megaluno. And it means to praise the greatness of, to extol, to magnify. In the Latin, it is magnificat anima mea dominum. My soul magnifies the Lord. It's where we've heard of the Magnificat of Mary. In the margins of your Bibles, it probably says Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. So Mary's soul magnifies the Lord, extols him, praises the greatness of. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices, agaliao, to be extremely joyful, to rejoice greatly, to experience a state of great joy and gladness, often involving verbal expression and appropriate body movement. So Mary says, my soul exalts or extols or praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. She's full of praise and of joy. Because she's been encouraged about what she was told by the angel Gabriel, affirmed by Elizabeth prophesying, she is joyful. She is praising God for what he had done for her and for all of his people. Now, was this a song she sang? A psalm? We don't really know. It became a song. There are a number of songs or psalms in the book of Luke that were sung in the early church. We actually are going to sing part of it today. But the text says Mary said, lego, she speaks, she calls out. So we don't know exactly how she did this. We don't even know if she did it in this moment or if this was an interview with Luke as he was interviewing, remember, to write this, that she was explaining these things to him. But we know this is what Mary said. And here's what we do know. It came from deep within her. Her soul, her spirit, the very center of who she was. Because she was so thankful. Because she was so overwhelmed with God's greatness. With his salvation coming to her and to the world. And that the actual salvation that was to come was going to be growing in her womb. That she would birth and raise the salvation of God. She was filled with joy. So she's going to burst forth with praise. All of her. From deep within, worshiping God with her mouth. What was inside of her came bursting forth. And I'll probably come back to this as I talk because it's so much something I want us to think about. When we think of God, when we think of what he's done for us and for others, is what happens, what bursts forth is praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing. those around us experience or see someone who's this excited. Yeah, come on, Pastor, but this was Mary. And this was Mary who was going to have Christ living in her. Doesn't He live in us? Not in our womb. Not in the flesh. Hasn't He done for us what He did for Mary? What He promised to do that she believed? So Mary is strengthened and firmed. She believes in the promises of God. And then she gives this Magnificat. Please stand and we will read verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel and remembers His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." You may be seated. What a wonderful psalm or song or prose. So worshipful, so much joy. She speaks as if these things have already come to pass. As if they, kind of like in Romans when it says we will be glorified. We are glorified. In other words, it's already happened. These things she speaks as if they've already happened. Because she believes the promises of God. We see here she's filled with the knowledge of the Old Testament. Something else for us to consider. When Mary's speaking here, what she's going to speak is many things, not verbatim necessarily, but straight from the Old Testament. Things that were hidden in her heart, because obviously she'd been raised by someone in this Jewish culture that had taught her these things. And what came out of her mouth, what was hidden in her heart, she's simply speaking the truths that she knew. She knew these truths. She now knew they were being manifested through this baby that was in her womb. Jesus, God is salvation. She knew of Hannah's prayer, for instance. Hannah and desired to have a child. Remembering she promised to give this child to the service of the Lord if she were going to give him a child. And in 1 Samuel 1:10-11, she was so deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if You will indeed look on the affliction of Your servant, and remember Me and not forget Your servant. But You will give Your servant a son that will give him to the Lord." She knew she was a lowly servant. We see the same language with Mary saying, "He has looked on the humble estate of His servant." And then what is known as Hannah's prayer, her prayer of worship after birthing Samuel, 1 Samuel 2:1. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord.'" Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in Your salvation." Hannah says, "I rejoice in Your salvation." Mary says, "In God my Savior. There is none holy like the Lord. And holy is His name," says Mary. Psalm 34:1-3, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." It's exactly what Mary's doing. She's blessing the Lord. She's magnifying His name. Similar language that Mary uses is found in Psalm 35:27. "Let those who delight in My righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, 'Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of His servant.'" "Let those who delight in My righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, 'Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of His servant.'" That's what we should be saying. Psalm 103:1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." You know, we do it when we sing. Amen? And I'm sure we mean it when we sing. But this is who we, this is how we should, this is, Mary is showing us how to worship knowing who God is and what He's done for us and for the world. So Mary speaks out. She speaks out these truths that are hidden in her heart, and she speaks out this high view of God and the salvation He has sent. This Magnificat, this poem, this prose, this psalm, this song is broken up in really three basic parts. The first part is she's praising God for what God had done for her. And then she switches and she praises God for what He has done, His judgment and His mercy for all. And then she praises God for fulfilling the promises that were made to Abraham. In this first part, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Ho Kurios, the Lord, a specific, definitive, definite article, the Lord. There's one Lord. And her soul is magnifying the one Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And it's ho soteri. One who delivers or saves, the Savior. What she's saying is, my soul magnifies the Lord of all, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My Savior, she says. She knew she was a sinner who needed a Savior. The Savior that was promised throughout all of the Old Testament. We know we're sinners that need a Savior. And He's not just a Savior. He's not just the Savior. Brother Josh, He's your Savior. Sister Brenda, He is your Savior. He's my Savior. This Savior that was promised, ho soteri, in the Septuagint. The Old Testament written in Greek, this word we see throughout, Judges 3:9. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer, soteri, for the people of Israel, who saved them, soteri. Psalm 24:5, he will receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Psalm 27:9, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. This is what Mary was praising God and rejoicing in, that God was sending her Savior, the promised Messiah, who would save her from destruction. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He's looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Psalm 62:6. It's not 64:6. It's wrong. He only is my rock and my salvation. Soteri, my stronghold, I shall not be shaken. Psalm 126:3, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. She says, He's done great things for me. Micah 7:7, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, soteri, and my God will hear. Mary's praising God and rejoicing in God's mercy for her. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He's become my salvation. Isaiah 45:21, declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no great other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Mary, in this part, does this sound like someone who's sinless? Mary's not sinless. She knows she needs a Savior. And she's praising God for her Savior. Her Savior, who would actually be her Son in the flesh. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now my soul magnifies the Lord. I rejoice in the God who saves. I will trust in His unfailing love. I will sing His praises all my days. That's what we're going to sing today. Now my soul magnifies the Lord. I rejoice in the God who saved me. He saved you, Corey. What should burst out of my mouth? Mary goes on to say how she is blessed by He who is mighty. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. She was nothing but a servant of God. There was no greatness in her. This is not the words of someone who was sinless. This is part of this ridiculousness of the cult of Roman Catholicism. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, she says. To call me blessed, makarizo. To regard someone as happy or fortunate in view of favorable circumstances. Regard as happy, call blessed, considered blessed. Notice that Mary says, all generations will call me blessed. Not call on me for blessing. They will call me blessed. She was blessed by God. She was happy. Because she was saved. Salvation had come. Rome has twisted this scripture to venerate a woman who was indeed blessed to carry the Savior of the world in her womb into someone who's the giver of blessings out of the treasury of merit that she controls. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. He who is mighty, dunatos, able, powerful, strong. Again, more truth from the Old Testament. Again, in the Septuagint, dunatos. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Jeremiah 10:6. There is none like You, O Lord. You are great, and Your name is great in might. Isaiah 63:1. Who is this who comes from Edom in crimson garments from Bozrah, who is splendid in His apparel, marching in greatness of His strength? It is I speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. She is magnifying God. She is rejoicing in her Savior. She is saying, the all-powerful, almighty God of all creation, that's who's done this. And He's done these things for me, she said. He has allowed me to carry this Jesus in my womb, to birth Him and to raise Him, and more importantly, to be saved by Him. She couldn't do this, could she? Luke 18:27, but He said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name, Hagias, set apart. He is holy. She's magnifying the Lord God, the mighty God. He is holy. Like Isaiah 6:3. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Mary was simply speaking out of the reservoir of what she knew from the Old Testament, the truths about this merciful God and His holiness. Revelation 4:8, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around. And within the day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Revelation 15:4, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship You, for Your righteous acts have been revealed. Mary is bursting forth out of her mouth the truth inside of her concerning the mighty, holy God who is blessing her, whose name is holy. He who is mighty has done a great thing, taken on flesh, conquered death's sting, shattered the darkness, and lifted our shame. Holy is His name. Mary is extolling the greatness of the holy God who was sending His salvation for her, that would come through her, and His name would be Jesus. This holy God, this mighty God, has done great things for you, Sister Julie. He's done great things for you, Brother Donnie. For you. The God of the universe, He who is mighty, who is holy, has done great things for you. And Mary is extolling and praising and full of joy because this great thing that God was doing, this holy, mighty God was doing for her, was actually growing in her womb. Now Mary shifts from praising God for His mercy towards her to God's mercy and judgment for all people. Verse 50, and His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. What was being manifested in her womb was mercy for anyone who would fear God from now and forevermore, from generation to generation. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. This mercy that He's shown me, that He's given me through this person of Jesus Christ, through the promised Messiah, is available to anyone for all time who would fear God. Again, just things that were stored up in her, she's speaking them out. Old Testament truths that are now coming to fulfillment in Christ Jesus. Psalm 31:19, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. Anyone who fears the Lord receives His mercy. Anyone who fears the Lord receives His mercy. This mercy is available to anyone who fears God, sees their need for salvation from the wrath that they have earned. Psalm 85:9, surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. And we are to go on fearing Him, aren't we? Not because we can have condemnation, but we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Psalm 103:11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. His mercy is for those who fear from generation to generation. Psalm 103:17, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. This is great news that Mary is bursting forth out of her mouth because of what's going on inside of her. The great news is this. All anyone in here has to do, has to see, has to recognize, is that you are a sinner that has earned the wrath of God. And that should bring you a great fear of this holy and mighty God. And you look to Christ for salvation. The salvation that Mary's singing about that is in her womb. But be warned. Psalm 36:1, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before His eyes. If you do not fear God, if you do not believe, you will face His righteous judgment. If you do not have a fear that your sin has you separated from God and has the wrath of God that's going to be poured out upon you, you are already condemned. His mercy is available to those who fear Him from generation to generation. There's not a child or an old person in this room that the arm of the Lord is too short to save. Fear Him. Because He is God and He has spoken. And turn to Christ and you will be saved. Mary continues, verse 51, He has shown great strength with His arm. Another Old Testament concept, this anthropomorphism, the God's arm. You know, God doesn't have an arm, but it's said in ways that we can understand. They talked about the strength of His arm. Psalm 98:1, Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. God has reached down to save His people. He has reached down His arm. By placing Christ Jesus in Mary's womb, she says His arm, He has shown strength with His arm. Psalm 118:15, glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Isaiah 52:10, the Lord has bared His holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. His arm, He had reached down. All the nations were now going to see the salvation of our God through Jesus Christ. Mary is praising God for reaching down and bringing salvation for the world in the person of Jesus Christ who was in her womb. Again, speaking as if these things had already come to pass. She says, He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. She is praising God. She's extolling God for His righteous judgment on those who would not see their need for His Son. 1 Samuel 2:3. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is God of knowledge. This is Hannah's prayer again. And by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who are full of have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren is born seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and He exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them He has set the world. He will guard the feet of His faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. This is what God's mighty arm was doing in sending Jesus Christ to earth. The child in her womb. Mary was praising God because judgment was satisfied in the person of Christ. And what that would do is that would scatter the unbeliever, and that will bring judgment on the unbeliever. Psalm 2, why do the nations rage and people's plot invade? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Mary says, the king is coming. He's setting His king on Zion, on the holy hill. This Christ Jesus, I will tell of the degree the Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I'll make the nations your heritage, the ends of earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Mary is saying, here's what's going to happen to those that reject this Messiah. God is going to destroy them. She goes on, He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. Blessed be the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Mary is speaking what God has done through his judgment and his mercy. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. Mary's Magnificat is including praise to the mighty, holy God for his judgment against the proud. She is prophesying, she is speaking what's going to happen, this mighty God. As you hear Mary's song of praise, unbeliever, understand, this is what's going to happen. You're either going to be filled with good things or you're going to be sent away empty. You're either going to be scattered, you're going to be brought down, or you're going to be exalted. James 4, but he gives more grace. Therefore it said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. There is not a proud person who thinks they need God not, need Christ not. There is not a person in heaven who's counting on their own righteousness, who doesn't fear the Lord and understand they're deserving of his wrath. If you have yet to humble yourself, humble yourselves. Of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The tax collector who beat his chest and knew that he was a sinner and needed God's mercy. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee who said, I thank God I'm not like them. God feeds the hungry with good things. Psalm 107:9, for he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. It's not the hungry belly, it's the hungry soul. He fills with good things. He fills with the bread of Christ, the bread of life. The satisfaction is not in earthly food, rather in the spiritual hunger being filled by Jesus. This is what she's saying. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Do you know? See, and this is what we can do, beloved Matthew. We can praise God that we understand these things and recognize these things. And that we cling to Jesus Christ. And we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We hunger and thirst to be like Christ. And we're filled. Because that's what God did when he reached his arm down and sent his son. Woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Revelation 3, 16, 18. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy gold from me. Gold refined by fire so you may be rich, and white garments so you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Mary is praising God. Praising God, there's food for the hungry. And there's mercy for the humble to be found in this baby in her womb. And she found it. He did this for her. And he did this for all people. All that would put their faith and trust in him. And those who remain satisfied with earthly bread and proud in themselves, then judgment is coming. In the form of this baby that was in his womb, that died and rose and ascended, and he will return to judge. This very same Son of Man, Son of God, will return to judge. Finally, she turns from praising God for what He had done for her, praising God what He had done in His mercy and judgment for all people, and then she praises God for His fulfilling the promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Verse 54, He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring. She praises God for the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, the mercy that He promised, that He spoke to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, Genesis 12:3, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. 17:19, God said, No, but Sarah your wife shall bear a son, you shall name him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. Genesis 22:18, in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This is what she's saying. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He promised mercy. He promised to make Israel a great nation. He promised to make his people great. And this is how he's going to make them great. He's fulfilling the promise, the Abrahamic covenant. The promise is being fulfilled in this baby in her womb. And she's praising God for it, rejoicing. Genesis 35:10-12, and God said to him, Your name is Jacob, no longer your name shall be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel, and God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I give to Abraham and Isaac I will give to you, and will give the land to your offspring after you. Psalm 105:6-10, O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Mary is praising God that this child in her womb, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, was the fulfillment of these promises made out of the mercy of God for His people Israel. This young virgin, betrothed, supposed to be showing her purity and her chastity, is told she'll become pregnant. She believes God. She goes and she in her unsureness, in her trepidation, she goes to Elizabeth, someone who's in a situation, and Elizabeth encourages and strengthens and fortifies her. God uses the prophecy through Elizabeth, seeing her pregnant, and now Mary is convinced, and what comes out of her mouth is this. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. I was thinking about this. I won't be remembered in a couple, 3 generations. But I sure hope that my children and my children's children, and maybe even their children, will remember their father was blessed. Their grandfather, their great-grandfather. He was blessed because of what God did for him. Do they even know? Do I tell them? Do you tell them? Mary's telling us. And she's still being remembered. We remember how blessed she was for her salvation. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. Everyone, His mercy is for anyone who fears Him and calls upon the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Anyone, Luke, anyone. He has shown strength with His arm. He's shown strength. He reached down and His Son came and He lived in time. Scattered the proud of the thoughts of their hearts. Brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. This is what is going to happen. This is as if it's already happened. He's filled the hungry with good things and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Closing thought. Mary is so full of praise and joy toward God for his gift of salvation in the person of her son Jesus, who, living in her womb, that she bursts out with these words of worship. Brothers and sisters, that we would believe God for his promised salvation in our lives, so the joyful exaltation toward our triune God would be heard from our lips by those who are nearby. Brothers and sisters, that we would believe God for his promised salvation in our lives, so that the joyful exaltation toward our triune God would be heard from our lips by those who are nearby. Thanksgiving's coming. Tell them of Jesus and what he's done for you and what's available to them. For those who have not yet feared God, anyone in here who have yet to fear God and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, for those who have not yet feared God and see your need for salvation, know that God has reached out with his Son, the Son of Mary, to provide mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Humble yourselves and be lifted up with Christ Jesus, that you not be separated from him in hell for all eternity. The Son of God, Son of Man, we are hearing about right now, that Mary is praising God for, rejoicing. He lived. He was born. He lived a perfectly sinless life. This Jesus, the Messiah, God is salvation because he came and he lived without any sin. The sins that you commit every day, children. He came and he lived without any sin. And then he went to a cross and he died a death under the wrath of God to take on the sin that you've earned. If you do not believe me, you will find out when you face God that what I'm telling you is true. You're under his wrath for your sin. And yet, he sent his son, this Jesus, to live a perfect life without sin and then go to the cross to pay for those sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended and he sits out at the right hand of the Father. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him, you too will be saved. And you can extol, praise God, and rejoice for what he's done in your life. And this is true. Oh, that you would have a fear of God. Oh, believer, that you would have a fear of God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the clarity with which Mary proclaims gospel truth. Her thankfulness for her salvation and what you had done for her. Her praise for what you would do for any who would fear you. The judgment that's coming upon those who will not believe. The fulfillment of all the promises that we see to make a great nation. Thank you, Father, for all of these truths that we see. Thank you for this Magnificat. May we dwell on it and may it minister to our souls. May we be people out of the overflow of the joy and the praise, out of the overflow of those our mouths would burst forth. With singing and with words that call you holy and great and extol our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand and sing, He Who Is Mighty. It's on your handout, He Who Is Mighty.